Turning to the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of reading your word once again over these airwaves. I pray that you bless your word, use it to your glory. Help me, dear Lord, to study and to rightly divide the word of truth, to preach it as it is, to people as we are. I come in behalf of all those that have asked an interest in prayer. Pray for those that are sick and troubled and injured, and those that have troubles in their own hearts and lives and homes and families. Truly, we're living in perilous times, and it's not difficult to see that. We know that the way out is up, and we pray for your soon coming for us. But in the meantime, help us to be faithful to you and to your word, and faithful in living for you. Forgive me of my sins. Bless the ministries that I have opportunity to have and to take part in, and I pray for all of those that pray for me and support the ministries in the ways that they do. Now help me to bring the message that you'd have brought, make it a blessing to hearers. In Jesus' name and for his sake I pray, amen. Now last Saturday morning, I read this same text that I read to you this morning, Hebrews 10:38, and spoke on the subject of living by faith. And I'm going to speak on that same subject this morning. In this text, the word says, the just shall live by faith. That just simply means that the one who is justified by faith continues to live by faith. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the faith that saves keeps working after we are saved. The Christian lives by faith in times of temptation. By faith we trust God for our daily needs. And we trust God in times of danger. Another area in which the Christian lives by faith is in seemingly impossible circumstances. When it seems like that there's just no way out, we just look to the Lord and trust Him and just do that by faith. I want to read you from 1 Samuel chapter 30, about three or four verses there. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning in verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Because of this heartbreaking experience, they cried until they could cry no more. Now let me ask you just to try to imagine this morning, what would you do if you came home and everything was burned and your family had been taken captive? Now really, that's not all contained here in this account. The people blame named David. And the scripture here says that they spake of stoning him. What did David do? Well, that scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. In this sixth verse in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. So what did he do? He went to God in prayer. Look at verse 8, or listen to verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So it wasn't an impossible situation. It just seemed like that it was. Because as we read on, we find that they found everything, and they got it all back. If we went on to verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And we can find other instances in the Bible where, in seemingly impossible circumstances, God's people just looked to him in faith, God-given faith, the same faith that saved them, and God delivered them in his own time, in his own way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, when Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, faced a seemingly impossible situation, he said, O our God, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Isn't that faith? Lord, we're not able to stand against this great company that comes against us. Now, to make a personal application of that, Lord, we're not able to stand, or I'm not able to stand against this great problem that is coming upon me, or this great problem that has come upon me. I don't have any might, I don't have any power to stand against this. And I don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. When I go to the book of Acts in the 27th chapter of Acts, and find the account here of the Apostle Paul, when there was this great storm out on the sea, in the 20th verse of Acts chapter 27, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But you're going down to verse 25 of that same chapter, and Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, notice now, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told unto me. So the person of faith trusts God in time of seemingly impossible circumstances. Furthermore, the person of faith trusts God in old age. Now, I may be speaking to people this morning, you think that you're going to always be young. I can tell you from experience that you are not. I can tell you from experience that old age is not that far down the road. And there are many difficulties and trials connected with old age. I think about the 21st chapter of John and verse 18, when the Lord is speaking to the Apostle Peter, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest." You could dress yourself and go wherever you wanted to go. But he said, "When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." My listener, that may happen to you and I. We don't know what the future holds. Think of what may happen. We may suffer the loss of companion, the loss of income as you grow older, the possibility of using up your retirement, the loss of health, the loss of health insurance, being abandoned by family. It's possible. You go to any nursing home and you can see this most every day. You wouldn't believe some of the true stories that I've been told by residents. The person who lives by faith can face these problems of old age. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 71 and verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Reminds me of that verse that we all know, Psalms 23:1, "The Lord is my helper. I shall not want." Back to that 71st division of Psalms in verse 18, he said, "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." And we have the promise of the Lord in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I believe it is, where he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what men shall do unto me." The psalmist wrote in another place in Psalms 37 and verse 25, "I have been young, now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread." The old person who lives by faith remembers God's promises. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 11, "Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me." I don't worry now about, like I once did, about dying before my wife does. God will provide. And one final area in which the Christian lives by faith is in the time of death. When the Christian comes to the valley of the shadow of death, he triumphantly says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." When the person who lives by faith is dying, he trusts his soul in the hands of God as Stephen in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, where it gives the account of the death of Stephen. And in verse 59 and verse 60, it says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God," or that is, Stephen calling upon God, "and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen knew that he was about to move out of this old house of clay. He knew that he was about to move out of this tabernacle of flesh, and that he was about to move in to the presence of the Lord. And he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then the next verse says, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." That's a testimony of faith. Stephen had preached this great message on Jewish history, and it had angered the people that were listening. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." The Bible here says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Oh, the power of the preached word of God. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And then they stoned this preacher to death. But the Lord God of heaven was standing and watching what was being done. And he was ready to receive Stephen's spirit as soon as Stephen's life had accomplished his purpose for it here on earth. So the person who lives by faith knows that the Lord Jesus will receive his soul, which he has purchased with his own precious blood. The person who lives by faith dies in peace. Psalms 37 and verse 37. "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." In Hebrews chapter 11, this chapter speaks of the heroes of faith, and verse 13 says, "These all died in faith." Psalms chapter 2 and verse 12, "Blessed or happy are all they that put their trust in him." In Psalms 31 and verse 19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up," notice that, Christian, "which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And then in the 32nd chapter of the Psalms and verse 22, Psalms 34 and verse 22, I believe it is. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Isn't it wonderful to know that you'll never, never, never be alone? That when you're saved, that if people always remembered that, that there would be a difference in how they would behave in the house of God. That God is always here and God is holy. But I'm talking about living by faith. How can we live by faith? Psalms chapter 9 and verse 10 says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. They that know thy name. You see, to know God is to know him as he is revealed in the Bible. Because God's name is what God is. And we learn who God is and what God is as he has revealed himself in the written word. First and foremost, God has revealed himself in the person of his Son. So you have to know the Son to know the Father. In his high priestly prayer, in John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So the question is not how religious that you are, or how many religious affiliations that you have. The question is, do you know God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And does God know you? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But the most important question that you face is, do you know God? And does God know you? Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Knowing God and his word will strengthen our faith and trust. Psalms 36 and verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. The just shall live by faith. Have you been justified by faith? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Christ died for our sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, justified, and the just shall live by faith. May God God help you to do that. I thank you for listening, and until we meet again, goodbye.